If you're a wrestling fan and you're frustrated with all the services you need to watch all the different wrestling shows, Fightful has your solution with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Change your virtual location with just one click, and you'll be able to watch Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and PLEs on one Netflix account. You'll also be able to get a lot of pay-per-views at a much more affordable price than you do here in the United States. This is a must-have for wrestling fans. That way you don't have to have 7 different accounts to watch all of the shows that you want to watch. In addition to that, they have a great 30-day money-back guarantee and an incredible deal right now going on. But that's far from it. You can protect yourself on their VPN service, the fastest in the world. Shield your data from snoops and criminals. Protect yourselves on public Wi-Fi, and it's available on all your devices and operating systems. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for your SmackDown post-show. It is May 9th, the SmackDown go home to Backlash tomorrow. Not the strongest episode in the world. So what did we do? We called the final Ross to sell some tickets here on Fightful YouTube, all right? We're not going to explain how that goes until later, but...
Listen, I didn't agree with how we got here creatively.
Sure.
I would have done things different. But listen, I'll be on here for about 5 minutes and then my work here will be done. I'm going to call you both up on the phone and I'm going to say, I think the final Ross's work is done.
Will Travis Scott show up on the SmackDown post show? Who's to say? Who's to say? Okay. I'm not making any promises, but we do have Sean here. If you guys have any questions for him, get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. If you just want to chat about the show in general, send those in. Please do leave a thumbs up on this video and subscribe to this YouTube channel as well. 168,000 of you subscribed. That number is climbing and we appreciate it so much. Helps us out a great deal, but we've got so much for you to talk about tonight on SmackDown. We also have a little Scoopski thread on FightfulSelect.com, best 599 in the biz, if we do say so ourselves. And we do say so. So there you go.
It'll drop early or afternoon on Saturday. It'll have some scoops in there. It'll have one. I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but it'll have one thing that is supposed to happen on that show that some people have been discussing.
All right. So we'll say. All right. A little tease. There are lots of scoops on FightfulSelect.com too, not just Backlash related, but a whole bunch of contract news rather that's been on over there and more to come. Sean, what do you want to talk about from So Guys? What do you want to talk about?
Best $5.99 a month in the business. I like to pop on here occasionally, especially before these pay-per-views. We will have betting tips from Bet Online on our scoops thread on FightfulSelect.com. Now, it's a tough one because Kate even asked me before we got on the air, do we have any lock picks? And I'm like, maybe, because I believe Cena is going to retain, but I fully see this Cena as I see people complaining about the heel run, which you guys can discuss later on. I wonder if he doesn't get himself DQ'd or something like that as well. So that could play into the money element of things a lot. But on FightfulSelect.com, I will be over there in the live discussion thread on our Discord as well. Our highly controversial Discord, as it has been aggregated over the last day. I'll tell you one thing I didn't.
So stupid.
I'll tell you one thing I didn't report. I did not report that WWE is having their talent do media training as a result of Ricochet trolling Javon Evans. Could that happen? Sure. But I would imagine that the 5 dozen cry laugh emoji reactions to that comment kind of indicated that it was a joke. But I'll tell you a few things that weren't a joke. Willow Nightingale, in her contract year with AEW, somebody that they value very, very heavily, that was over there on the paywall. Now, also, a free update today. We had noted Jey Uso, Logan Paul, not planned for Backlash. It's being discussed for Saturday Night's main event, even pitched for another show as well. I had some details on Rhino, on Eric Rowan. Deonna Purrazzo, what she's doing this weekend, Adam Copeland, but a lot of stuff there. But that's not it. Over on the paywall side, we had the first words from the Good Brothers. We had that interview out publicly and free here on our YouTube. But while we're on the subject of contracts and all that, of course, we had a ton of follow-ups from the unfortunate releases last week. I did pop onto that show as well. We had a lot of discussion about the how, why, where they might be going, but we also confirmed the signings of Harley Hudson and Myla Grace. So about a month-ish ago, I think probably about 5 weeks ago, I said that there were numerous unannounced international signings for TNA. Those were Indy Hartwell, Myla Grace, and Harley Hudson. And I even informed our wonderful reporter, Corey, today. Yeah, by the way, when you did that interview with Myla Grace that did really great traffic for us, she'd been under contract for like 6 or 7 months, by the way. And he was like, well, son of a bitch. He's like, I wondered why that got to go on the main channel that is only supposed to feature nationally televised talent on it. Hmm. Well, you know, Corey, come on. Come on now. We also had confirmation that Tekla had signed with AEW. We also had the most obvious story in the history of all time. It's the Good Brothers working with New Japan.
No way.
What? What? No. Had a lot of injury updates. Sky Blue being backstage last week. Now all of a sudden she's coming back this week. Now we reported Juice Robinson is healing up really well. Is supposed to be back hopefully soon. It takes a little longer for AEW. I will say this. AEW is pretty cautious with their talent, and they put them through a pretty extensive sort of return regimen. We also had a very wild story about pro wrestlers doing power slap. And listen, do I think power slap is stupid? Yeah, I think it's really dumb. Am I going to watch Zicky Dice and Hollywood Haley J in power slap? Yes, I probably am. I probably will watch Juicy Finau.
That terrifies me.
It's horrifying. I will probably tune in to watch Marty the Moth slap some people. Yes, I will. We're going to have more details on that. We had details on the UK tryouts, Liv Morgan's schedule, and when she's headed back, all that. And we're going to have so much more. That contract news doesn't end at FightfulSelect.com. And if that's not enough for you, we have a bunch of extra podcasts, including this wonderful lady over here doing Sour Graps with Alex, as well as after the PLE tomorrow. I do have a show myself, but a show that goes under the radar a lot. A lot of times people will say, hey, Fightful, why don't you cover underline? And I say, we do, because a gentleman named Steven Jensen has a show called The Weekender. It's been on for years. This week he covered ICW No Holds Barred. He covered TWE New Direction. And let me tell you, if you want a new direction, check out Blue Chew and the code Fightful. GCW, crazy, spooky, crazy, scary, spooky, hilarious. He covered Evolve. He covered the releases and ROH. Hot diggity damn. Let's get into some super chats and some humper chats.
Let's do so. Another fun fact about Steven Jensen. Huge Little Big League fan. Like myself.
Yeah. Was he the one that did the show with you?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
That is very early in my career here at Fightful IP, because I tricked Sean into paying me to review Little
Big League. Well, let me tell you, I'm waiting for you to chop that up into clips for when we monetize Facebook. So hopefully we can get our money back on that one.
Yeah, it's gonna take some eyes. It's gonna take some eyes. But
what was the kid's name? Hold on. What was the kid's name again?
Young Billy Haywood.
Billy Haywood. That's what
it was. Know your facts. Know your facts. That's what it was.
Yeah. He's a little smart ass, that kid. Sorry to interrupt.
He's a smart manager, is what he is, Sean. Like, you could manage the Twins to the playoffs.
I could have. They had the DH. Of course I could have. Was Kirby that era? What, hold on, let's talk about what
Kirby Puckett,
RIP. Okay, we're talking about the 1994 season. Let's talk about the 1994 Twins real quick. Let's pull this up. Okay, and honestly, it's probably the 93 Twins, because it takes a while for that to come out. So
they're also the fictional Twins. Like, Lou Collins was the third baseman.
But listen, we're talking about me. We're talking about me here. They had Dave Winfield and Kirby Puckett, Chuck Knobloch, Kent Herbeck, Brian Harper. Their catcher had a 347 OBP. I'm looking at this. They had Chip Hale on their bench getting on base 40% of the time. I for sure could have. They had Scott Erickson, who had his worst year ever.
They had Mickey Scales.
Year.
Like, you are not, we're talking fictional, Sean.
Now, listen, I will say, and no, Expos fans, you didn't get robbed in 94 because the Cincinnati Reds were going to win the World Series that year. Kevin Mitchell was just going to slap you guys in the face is what he's going to do. Now, listen, the pitching staff that the Twins had in 93 was atrocious. I mean, like, notoriously bad. And then it got even worse in 94. So that would have been a little bit tougher.
Yeah, you need pitchers. Unless you're Billy Haywood, who knows when to start Wegman.
You know what I would have done? I simply would have called up my number four starter, Pat Mahomes, and I would have said, hey, has your kid been born yet? Can he throw a baseball? If not, can he manage this team with me? Because I got some ideas. And that's what we would do.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Let's get to some chats. I know you guys were like, when do we get to talk about the 94 Twins? We've got you covered. We've got you covered.
We can talk about the 94 Reds all day, buddy. Kevin Mitchell, Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders, oh, let me tell you, came in there like a house of fire. It was good. We had Tony Fernandez. We had Roberto Kelly until we traded him for Deion. But that wasn't better. Brett Boone had a great year. Barry Larkin was on fire.
Barry Larkin.
Eddie Taubensy was good, even.
That one's Hal lost Morris. To me, not going to lie. I was with you up until that.
Hal Morris, Jose Rijo, John Smiley had a great season.
John Smiley, love John Smiley.
Jeff Brantley, who's still calling games, he was really good.
And they a commentator? They had those amazing sleeveless jerseys where you would wear like the t-shirt underneath.
Those need to come back.
Yep.
What a good
those
time.
Those need to come back.
Those were good. That was the year they introduced the white pinstripes.
That was
a really good era. Really good era. I mean, listen, Jose Rijo was the man. This dude was injecting pure cortisone in that shoulder for like 2 years. And then he's like, I can't take it anymore. Shit. Sat out 5 years. 5 years he sat out, then came back and just smoked people out of the bullpen at 36 years old.
Legend.
Respect on that. Who owned the team at the time? I wouldn't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about that.
To some chats. Tim McFowell with the generous one saying money's for the Bangs and the Clavs featuring the final Ross. Speaking of money, TK needs to back the truck up for Willow. Still haven't watched WWE since the releases and sounds like it's been a good decision. This was not a great episode of SmackDown. We're going to talk about that later, but the general sentiment for Willow is she's like an AEW can't lose feeling type of talent.
I'm going to put it right here. I'm going to put it.
Don't run it with
out
those.
There. 99.
Don't run with those, sir.
99.5% Willow stays with AEW.
Okay. Strong odds.
That's how confident I am. I will never say 100% unless I see the contract and watch them sign it or anything.
That's fair.
People think that she's going to go to WWE. Cut it out.
Man. You would place your bets with those kinds of odds, Sean Rossap, wouldn't you? If you could bet on wrestling, isn't there? Wouldn't you do that if you were that far?
14 minutes in, you go in there already?
I'm going there already, Sean.
Well, I mean, listen, I'm here. Well, I'm here. We'll do a live read while I'm here.
That's what I figured. I thought I would.
Yeah. Bet online, AG. Listen, I'll make my quick picks as well. But the WWE backlash. John Cena is currently the favorite, and I'm expecting him to be the favorite as well. Now, we only want you to bet what you can, and please bet responsibly, but BetOnline AG has been trusted for years. They've got the first off, you can deposit with crypto if you're into that type of thing, because Bitcoin is just blowing up. They got VIP rewards. They got high limits, rebet functionality, the fastest payouts, and it's not just this. NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs going on right now, Major League Baseball. You got WNBA firing up really soon. I am excited for Indiana Fever season. right now, by God, trusted by millions. But Jacob Batu, the favorite right now, I was kind of thinking, well, maybe he ends up getting costed that title by Solo Sikoa. I was thinking that might be a possibility. And then you've got a situation where both of his title reigns effectively got stopped because of Solo. You also have Gunther minus 1500 against Pat McAfee. Listen, I know some people that are taking a flyer on Pat McAfee because of the other Fightful Select report that we had about Goldberg and Gunther being discussed. Now, would I jump in front of a semi truck if that happened? I don't know. We have to put some odds on that. Would I be depressed? Would I be able to get out of bed on Sunday? I don't know. But right now, Gunther is the favorite. Lyra, as an underdog, kind of surprised me because I thought that Bayley would cost Becky the match. That's what I thought. But there's an awful lot of people that seem to think that Becky and Bayley will feud for this title. I don't know. Dominic is a big favorite over Penta. I think if that happens, Judgment Day's got to help him, but he's upset that Judgment Day helped him. He got this title now. He wants to do it on his own, and we get babyface Dom very soon. That's what I want to see. By God. No haircuts allowed for Dom, though. It looks great.
No, you got to save that for the inevitable hair versus mask.
Oh, God, mask, think, yeah.
Right? Yeah. I think so. Adrian Wells, an 11-month member. Thank you so much for this generous chat.
The man.
We love Adrian around here. Happy Friday, everyone. How y'all doing? Do y'all think we will get Jacob Fatu versus Aleister Black at SummerSlam? Do y'all think Ethan Page will join Seth Rollins' new faction? Somebody called him, I think it was Bad Robot, called him the Seth Riders.
Oh, we dubbed that on our first post show when he when he said he wanted to recreate the WWE's image in his what he wanted. Yeah.
Yeah.
Adrian, we had reported on Fightful Select that as of the formation of the stable, like as of that Monday, as of that weekend, there were not plans on adding anybody. I have not heard any different as of now, but anything can happen. It's WWE. Things can change. Things can adjust. I understand that a lot of people are like, oh, who else can we get the rub on here? Because it's a wildly different stable. But I think this should be largely focused on Seth and Braun and then their eventual clash, because just them pairing up has created an incredible amount of buzz. Regarding Malachi, already with him and
Alistair Bruce, Sean, watch the
sorry. With Alistair, that'll take some getting used to. Alistair and Rusev, I'm already like, all right, now let's have something competitive, because normally I'd be like, Carmelo, hell yeah, but he's involved with The Miz. And I'm like, no, why?
We are going to talk about all of but that.
I do love that idea, though. Sorry. I do love the Aleister Black, Jacob Fatu idea, because Aleister Black should not be losing anytime soon. Rusev should not be losing anytime soon. Jacob Fatu shouldn't be losing anytime soon. And eventually you want those shouldn't be losing anytime soons to clash. And then eventually somebody got to lose sometime soon.
It's true. Yeah. I would like them to go back to a thing where people win matches to earn title shots. We're going to talk all about that in a minute here. But the other big things to talk about tonight were Alexa Bliss returning, and then a lot of people not into this John Cena heel turn. Let's talk about those, because we have a few chats on that. Red Devil Gamer saying this Cena heel turn has been hot garbage so far. It's the same crap every week. Kim Gray, who it's so nice to see back in our chat, saying anyone else hate Cena now, but not the way I'm supposed to hate him. I just can't get into this. And Andrew Brown saying, why is Cena still doing the bad Naito gimmick? I said last week or 2 weeks ago, I ran from the grind last week.
Yeah.
I said 2 weeks ago, I feel like The Rock not coming back has affected Cena negatively for that reason. I feel like it puts such a ceiling on his promos and where he can go, because we got no other justification. I feel like he's excelling at what he's doing within them, but I just feel like it's gotten really repetitive and kind of stale very quickly, because there was this whole aspect of the story that didn't get stolen. Sean, how are you feeling about it? I know when I watched your Raw review on Monday, you had kind of said, like, I'm just not buying it. I'm just not
generic.
Buying it so much.
It's really generic to me. Sorry to interrupt. Yeah, it's just it's a really 2K ass heel turn, like 2K career mode ass heel turn. Like he's, oh, all you people. And if anybody can do all you people, it's John Cena. He's got a legitimate reason to do all you people. But I'm just like, can we get something a little bit more inspired out of it? Like, I and I understand he
respect.
He also goes for the oh lines as well, like the drug test line, which, you know, was a good line, but there's just so much. It's just lacking something after they had that white hot turn. All there's the follow-up has just been
Yeah, I felt that way about the New Day turn. Like, they've had some great heel turns, some really great moments, and then some weak follow-ups. Cardoza, we've been talking about this kind of week over week, but going into Backlash tomorrow, did you feel like this promo of him kind of that 2006 drug test line? I did like what he said about, like, your childhood dies tomorrow because you were either a Cena guy or an Orton guy for a long time, and either way, it's ruined for you tomorrow. How are you feeling about the Cena promo that we got at the end here, kind of going into tomorrow?
I mean, Sean hit the nail on the head. So damn generic. So very, very Cena-ish of him. Very WWE-ish of him. Not in a bad way. I understand this is their formula. So this is what they do. You know. So obviously it's working. So I'm not gonna like say this is the most horrific thing ever, but it was just that, you know, for a long time, when John Cena is a babyface, everything he says it with passion, and you believe it and you feel it. And unfortunately today, and I'll end it here, it felt more like.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions, and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it's common. But we are going to provide you with that solution via Hims.com/Fightful. Hims provides you with convenient and quality access to a range of hair loss treatments that all work from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little to 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable oral spray and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor's visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment was sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Fightful. That's Hims.com/Fightful for your personalized hair loss treatment options. Hims.com/Fightful. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Like, he was being the peacemaker and actor. He was just trying to push it. It felt a little bit like it was just like he was trying to hit the emotion and the line. And you can tell that in an actor when you're standing in front of them, you know? So,
of course.
Yeah, and obviously I don't want to compare it to like Peacemakers, that show he's really good at.
Yeah, he is.
What he's doing there, because it's like a mix of actual John Cena and being quirky. But this felt more of like, I gotta hit the mark.
That's fair. And Sean, we'll let you get out of here in a minute because we said we would keep you for 5 minutes and now we're almost at 25 minutes. But Anthony Velasquez saying, glad Alexa Bliss is on TV. She does not need the Wyatt Six to get TV time. She's more than capable of shining on her own. Man, what is this?
That was weird. It was a very random thing. Like, maybe she'll compete for the U.S. title or something. But Fightful Select on our free tier did report that she was in town for the show. But this, I was considering how long you've kept the Wyatts off of TV, supposedly in conjunction with her absence. Why hasn't she been on TV the last 2 months?
If you were going to buck the Wyatt interruptions during things and whatever she seems to be headed toward now anyway, wouldn't you have done that? I don't know. On the way to WrestleMania is kind of how I felt about that. Kind of a weird one. But Sean, what is this free tier you keep talking about?
Free tier on FightfulSelect.com. It's not just, we don't just have a paid tier. We have a free tier that will drop a lot of stuff on, usually one or two updates a week. But it also gives you the access to see the headlines of the stories on our paid tier. So you can decide if you want to subscribe. But here's what I'll say, guys. I know a lot of stuff costs really expensive. We have had, or a lot of stuff is really expensive. We've had one price update in 8 years. And we are still the least expensive exclusive wrestling news service out there. I understand some of you don't want to pay for wrestling news. I understand that. But what I suggest is steal money from somebody. Just rob someone, attack them, take money, write cold checks, anything that you can do. If anywhere still takes checks, if you know of anybody with like expensive possessions, steal those and then pawn them and then take the cash and then get Fightful Select is what
Western Union. We still take those.
Yes. There you go. And yeah, just steal money is what I will say. If you have a savings account, empty that.
Yeah.
You can cash out that directly to me if you want.
Yeah. If you win with our lock bets at Bet Online, all that money should be going back to us. That's it.
Yeah. Yep. See you guys later.
Later.
Sounds good. All right, let's swing into our SmackDown review. Brad, I've got an exception to take with this because you might think I'm a hater. I don't crap on literally everything WWE does, but if you're going to sit here and put words in my mouth that I thought the main event of Dynasty was good, that shit sucked. No, it was not. So you can interpret my opinions on WWE however you want, but let me be explicitly clear. That shit was awful on Dynasty. But here's the thing with the current WWE product right now. In my opinion, which you're not obligated to listen to, by the way, but in my opinion, the booking has gone back to Vince levels of bad. The characters are significantly better. They are smarter. They say, Brad's like, you know, her Alex coming into the family. You know nothing of Kate's work. I hate the Death Riders. I am so done with it. They've turned Claudio into a pit eater. That shit sucks. But the booking has regressed so much. And it's hard for me to get excited about things when the booking doesn't make sense. So even when we get awesome matches like we got today with Axiom, Fraxium, and the Street Profits, like there was some really cool in-ring there, and I'll talk about that. But why you're pinning your champions when you could do literally anything else to get to that point feels bad to me. I can look at any card and say that's ending in a DQ, that's ending in a distraction or something. Like when I can look at that every week, that's not good wrestling television. And so it for me watching it, it puts a dampening on the whole viewing experience because all of the great in-ring that we're getting, all of the great character work that we are getting, much better longer term stories in that sense. But the weekly TV to get there has not been great. Has not been great. And I'm not going to pretend it will. And tomorrow's card, I'm sorry, that's a pretty bad excuse for a card. You have four world titles. One of them is being defended. That's bad. Like, that's not fair to the people who are paying exorbitant amounts of money to go there. So I, like, there's a lot of huge names missing from that card. No Cody, no Punk. Like, there... I mean, Gunther is facing Pat McAfee, no Jey Uso. Like, there's, and then on the women's side, my goodness, we've got the IC title and nothing else. Is that right? That's inexcusable to me. I'm sorry. I know you love your five match formula and it has its advantages. I love wrapping up a review by midnight and that's because I've talked about it for 2 hours. Okay. Like I'm good. I'm good with that part of it. But like, I feel like if you are asking people to pay what they are paying to go to these shows and this is the card you're giving, that's pretty weak. So I do have complaints about WWE. I think they are quite constructive. And I also try to give praise to the performers who go out there and put their physical health on the line. And Tim McFowell says, preach, Kate. WWE creative is D writers levels of crap. So there you go. I'm a hater across the board, but tonight's SmackDown was flat out not good. Like
they just went back to their normal, you know, with before a pay-per-view show. You know what I'm saying? It was what it was.
Standard go homey for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, I was excited to see Alexa Bliss on my TV. The context that she was brought back in was weird. Let's start at the end and work our way back a little bit because we do get this Cena promo and we also get a hired gun who is bad at their job because they go to take out John Cena and get caught. A mystery person because they love their black hoodies on the show. Like if you're a mystery opponent or a mystery angle, you're showing up in a black hoodie. And then Randy Orton RKOs him. But the promo that we were talking about earlier said, John Cena was like, I'm here to ruin your childhood. And honestly, I respect that. He says, essentially that if you were watching this product for the past 2 decades, you are a Randy Orton guy or you are a John Cena guy for a lot of that time. And tomorrow, either way, we're ruining your childhood because heel John Cena is going to be the one to win it. Essentially, Randy Orton, is a legend killer who's there to kill his own legendary story, basically. Like I liked that. He says he's like the 2006 drug test that he had, a failure, which is a pretty good line. But he also says that if you are between the ages of 3 and 11, he's here to ruin your life too, because life isn't fair. Winners write history books, and Randy Orton is a liar, and he lies to himself. He then goes through hustle, loyalty, and respect. He says that Randy Orton has never hustled in his life and that he is essentially a Nepo baby and uses connections to get where he is. He's a piece of furniture. He's a lazy boy. All of these lines. He is the GOAT at wasting his potential. And John Cena says, I am hustle. Then he says, loyalty-wise, working a job a lot of days in a row at one place isn't loyalty. It's cashing a check. Randy Orton says he's a lifer, but he's actually just stuck here. Loyalty means being someone you can always count on, and you can't count on him to take the title from Cena. He's the GOAT at doing the bare minimum. He, John Cena, is loyalty. And then he says, respect, of which you've shown me none, which I liked. Bob Orton catching strays here. Says nobody knows him for anything other than knocking up his wife. But kind of digs into Randy Orton for not being the legend that he's cracked up to be. That being a legend killer, he was just removing people that were barely relevant in the first place. He is the GOAT of making a mockery out of what a wrestler should be. And John Cena says he is respect. Then a black hooded figure with tattoos arrives, tries to take out John Cena, but John Cena catches him into an AA. And then Randy is able to RKO him because Cena thinks he like got away with one and he's there holding his title. The camera work on that was awesome. Like they do a really good job with the sneak up from behind part. I don't know who the mystery attacking person is. I'm not sure. John Cena or Jeff Cobb doesn't have the tattoos, I don't think, that they had. Some people were saying Miles Bourne is like the joke, but Miles Bourne does have tattoos, but I believe only on one arm. So I didn't have time to watch the replay either because I was setting up for this, but I don't know who that was. I like the idea of Jeff Cobb being an enforcer of some sort. And the guy was small too, like that. He was not the frame of Jeff Cobb. My sister described Jeff Cobb as, this is so specific, but do you remember the dresser from Beauty and the Beast when he like opens up the the like armoire drawers and like his whole barrel chest. My sister was like, Jeff Cobb, she doesn't know who Jeff Cobb is, but she saw me watching wrestling and was like, that guy looks like the dresser from Beauty and the Beast when he like shows his chest.
Wow.
Which was like alarmingly accurate of her.
She's not wrong.
She's not. She does not care about wrestling at all, but I make her sometimes. But that was one of the funniest things I've ever heard. People are saying it was Sean Spears, but I don't think Sean Spears has full.
No, that was just a regular. That was just probably an enhancement. We're like over here trying to overanalyze, and it was John Doe number one backstage was standing around.
Like it was someone from Evolve or whatever. Yeah,
literally. No, it's probably like literally someone who was, you know, because they give time to local people when they come up to the show. They'll be like, hey,
that's a pretty big angle to just be a rando in, but. That is how we ended the show. That is the.
Well, have a good night, everyone. No.
That's not how we ended the show. That's how they ended the show. I was using a collective we, Alex. But what did you think of the way we ended the show? I know we got your kind of more generic thoughts on the Cena promo aspect, but the rest of this angle, what did you think?
I think that they overdo the over the back shot a lot. Sorry. It's true. Like if you scroll through a lot of the social media, WWE likes to use that shot a lot. Like
they do. It gets a lot of meme action.
Of course. Yeah. Say. Yeah. And you know, they're going for the online numbers. We know this. Sure. So it works. It works. That's what I'm trying to say. It's really good. It works. Other than that, like, I'm just like, cool. We got another, you know, beat down by Cena, of Cena by Randy Orton. So Randy's now just been taking him out left and right. You know what I'm saying? Like, so what does that tell me? What does history tell you when that happens a lot?
Yeah, wrestling math says John Cena's
So is I'm
likely
like,
winning.
It's cool. Like you're defending yourself, but I would have rather just end the show and you show up tomorrow with piss and vinegar and you like beat the crap out of Cena, you know what I'm saying? And like use that. I understand that they're trying to like do it up by having him there, but I would have waited for that for more physicality because now, you know, I understand like John's words weren't that deep. You know, he hasn't said anything that nobody else has said to him before.
It's not that serious, bro.
No, bro. Come on now. Fight tomorrow. Like just Sabrina. Beat the crap out of each other.
It was Stan.
It was Stan.
Do you remember the Sean Spears segment?
Yes.
I just kicked Stan. Love it. Absolutely love Sabrina. It. Guys, keep getting in your super chats as we rock and roll through this episode of SmackDown. Let's move back to Little Miss Bliss because I was so excited that she showed up back on the program, but I am bewildered by the context in which she did. I am tired of American wrestling television. Looking at you too, AEW.
Yeah.
Setting up singles programs through multi-person matches all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. And nobody does it lazier than the WWE women's mid-card title booking picture. Sure. Because they will do everything they can to avoid building a proper one-on-one story for those titles. Lyra was in Rumble. She was competing for any title but defending her own. And then, of course, at WrestleMania, obviously had the tag angle. Here on SmackDown, like Chelsea was doing, I mean, losing more than she was winning while holding that title. And the multi-woman matches were the ways that a lot of these got set up. I'm tired of it in AEW. I'm tired of it in WWE. I get that they have their place, but like, I swear if you took multi-people matches away, black hoodies and DQ finishes away from this creative team, they would not know what to do with themselves. They'd be at a loss. They would have no clue how to book a wrestling show if you took those three elements away. It drives me crazy. There's no relationship between Zelina and Alexa. It made no sense. And for the love of God, if you hear the reaction that Alexa Bliss got at Royal Rumble and you decide... can't keep her in the Wyatt Six because somebody else got injured in that process, despite the fact that we teased it, despite the fact that for some reason this woman just shows out in Elimination Chamber matches.
Sure.
To the point where you take her off TV to the build to WrestleMania the rest of the way, and you have her come back to not the story that made you circumvent her for appearing on WrestleMania, what are we doing? So, I mean, just have Zelina be a singles champion and defend her title. We don't need to do a rematch between her and Chelsea. I think we've worn that angle into the ground. And we'll talk about the exchange with her and Charlotte after, but very happy Alexa was back. This was very close to her hometown too. So that's awesome. They were in Ohio, but as the kids say, Alex, I think this angle was so Ohio, right? Isn't that something the kids say?
I've been thinking about retiring from the show, and I think that just might have set me over the edge.
Fine, Cardoza.
Oh, I'm Alex Cardoza. I don't like Kate's jokes. I act like she can't just remove me from stream every week. Yes, I can.
I die every time you take me off. I'm like falling off the chair, people. Like, yeah, I mean, her music, when as soon as it, and I honestly, this was the first time when they've, you know, said someone was going to come in and be a guest wrestler or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like a team up with someone. And I had no idea who the hell they were going to put in that slot, like, man.
Sincerely, who? Because you just released a lot of people.
Yeah, I was literally going, who the hell are they going to bring in? Like, wild local talent. I totally, like, it didn't even hit me that.
Because it makes no sense.
Yeah, right. So when she comes out, I'm like, what? Wait a second. Is she spooky? Is she witchy? Is she just cheery? Like, which one is coming out? You know? And it was like a mix of all of them, like hugging and high-fiving, you know, like whatever. Celine, like, hey, what's up? You know, we're here together, but still freaky with the doll.
What relationship do they have?
Like, none. But, you know, they do this a lot too, like in other wrestling promotions where they just kind of like feel the vibe and see what two wrestlers can do. You know, like, hey, I saw you down the hallway the other day and I wanted you to come back in my match. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it happens, I guess.
I will say, like, on the AEW side, there's this like a hallmark that they have for some reason where there's a group that's an island of misfit toys.
Yes.
Usually they're very loosely affiliated and they're rarely ever officially together and they just fizzle out. Like,
and that's it. Yeah.
With the collaboration that's going on with this like Speedball Kevin Knight thing or whatever. So I can appreciate that, but it is usually built out consistently week over week. This very much felt like a one-off to me because Zelina's a singles champion. But it was nice to see Alexa back for sure. She wins with the Sister Abigail DDT and pins Chelsea in the process. So sure. It was really nice to see her back. It was really, really nice to see her back. I will say that. But like, man, it boggles the mind that they released as many women as they did. But like, I guess I can't say that because it's not a roster depth issue. It's a utilization issue. Like,
sure, yeah.
They have the women's talent. They just refuse to like utilize it properly. But
yeah,
we do get an interesting development that I'm willing to see where it goes. But this situation that happens with Charlotte Flair, who comes out and knows exactly what she's doing. Charlotte comes out to the ring. We have her basically playing right into the hands of the fans with this segment, saying that she's the GOAT. She is back. Why do they continue to boo her after everything she's done for women's wrestling? She has a plan on how to get back to that title. And she goats the crowd into booing her out of the ring, essentially. She played right into everything everyone says about her. She said that her and Tiffany had one of the best women's matches of all time at WrestleMania. And I think that was even pseudo intentional because the next night's women's match was genuinely one of the best. While Tiffany and Charlotte was good. I think that was her GOAT self putting herself over as the GOAT there as well. But then backstage, she says, I will not be disrespected like this. And Nick Aldis says, you can't just run away like a little sissy. Come on now. Act
word
like,
for word,
act,
by the way.
Act like a leader. Act like a leader back here. But she goes to get in the van to drive away and says, take me back to the airport. But Alexa Bliss stops her. And they have kind of like this face-to-face interaction. Very funny because Charlotte is extremely tall and Alexa Bliss is extremely short.
Extremely.
So when you do a face-to-face and you're looking up, it was very funny to give like the little sister vibes out of that. But I don't know what happens here. If this is setting up for an alliance between the two of them, I actually think that could be kind of fun. But it feels like, did we lay all this Wyatt 6 groundwork just to completely abandon it? Or what are we doing? Maybe Nikki Cross comes back into play here in some way. I personally, while I like so appreciate what Alexa has done in the spooky realm and how integral to the act she was with Bray, I loved Little Miss Bliss. Like, I loved the goddess. Like, I loved the way she talked a bunch of crap. So I, as a fan, don't mind seeing her move on from that. It just feels like a complete abandonment of what they laid out. So I was a little confused by this. What did you think of all the Charlotte Flair and a segment and the interactions that we got?
I think with the Charlotte Flair thing is just, you know, kind of seeing, maybe testing the waters. If the spark is still there between these two, you know, like, can they work together again? Is sure. Maybe Alexa just too far gone into her own, you know, world, her own thing that she's been doing, you know? Mm-hmm. Is there something that, like, does it hold any weight? I can't begin to tell you that because I don't know. There is no direction for any of these women right now. You know, you got Charlotte just basically right now running shop, right? Smacking people up, telling them that she's going to take titles and plain and simple, right? And then you have, you know, Alexa Bliss, who's kind of just been gone. And then she comes into this and I don't even know, you know, if how they would reintroduce the Wyatts again. It's such a weird thing because they're on and off, and they've been on and off since before Bray kind of got sick a little bit and then came back and had that, you know, the glow in the dark match and all that stuff, you know.
Sure.
There's been a lot of starting and stopping, right, with that brand. And now we're sitting here again kind of just waiting to see what's going to happen with them.
You know, it is a little frustrating because when you look at the releases and how many of them affected the women's tag divisions,
yeah,
of both NXT and the main roster, it's like, what is the point of these women's tag titles? And it feels like if you're going to do a Charlotte Alexa Bliss tag team, that's cool. Feels like you could also do an Alexa Nikki Cross tag team. That would be very cool. But like, that division needs some star power. Yeah. Charlotte's a top star. Alexa's a top star. Wouldn't hate it if they had an alliance and then one of them turned on the other. I think that could be fine.
Sure, yeah.
But until then, like you said, a lot of the show was just kind of confusing. A lot of the show was just kind of confusing. And that was one of them. But guys, get in your super chats because we're going to stick in spooky worlds here. We're going to talk about this Aleister Black promo. And I'm sorry the person that called me a hater earlier, but like, I don't like this.
If that person's still hanging around, then that's a them problem.
That's a them thing at this point. You can't
come in here, be mean, and then like stick around for the whole show so you can continue being mean. Like, that just makes no sense. You don't watch things you don't like, right?
Yeah. So, well, that's weirdly not how wrestling fans.
And we critique things. This is what we're here for. Not everything is sunshine and rainbows at the 80-year-plus old company that's been doing it forever, right? And is a household name. So, you know,
it's not sunshine and rainbows anywhere.
Anywhere. Yeah, that's what exactly I was saying. I was a WCW fan, and their dynamic went crazy too. So it's just like, you know, and yeah, we had these little back and forths that we suck, you suck, no, you suck back in the day. But today, people kind of take it a little bit overboard. But anyway.
They do. But I will say, like, I like the idea that Aleister Black is back and wants to do something different. I think it's kind of cool that they didn't just say Rusev Day was super over, let's make him do Rusev Day, and that they went in a different direction.
Yeah,
respect the choice to do something like Aleister Black said, that version of him is dead and buried. Like this is where you're expecting spooky, creepy guy to come out. And the rest of his promo just made me kind of feel like this feels like Rusev's promo with different words. Like I was not super into it. I feel like they kind of took away a lot of what made him special. And I'm also like, well, if you're not dark and spooky guy, you can turn lights on around you then. the lighting in this promo certainly still felt ominous and weird. I did appreciate that he said, like, Carmelo Hayes, I haven't quite figured you out yet before their match, because that kind of intrigued me about, like, well, what does he mean by that? But for him to say, like, he's come back for respect, I'm just like, between AEW and WWE, I'm like, does anybody just want to beat anybody up? Like, I'm tired of, like, respect. I am tired of making things in their own image and stomping out ego. Like, what happened to the days of just beating people up? I'm kind of tired of this.
Yeah. I'm with you.
A little old. Like, I'm a veteran with a chip on my shoulder. I get it. I see it everywhere all the time. So I'm getting a little exhausted by that aspect of it. Very nice to see Aleister Black, though, back in the ring. I really liked the match between him and Carmelo. I thought there was some fun technical stuff in here that we don't always get to see Carmelo do, with, like, the strikes, and there were some fun holds in here. Got some really cool, like, just high-flying counters and stuff. But I like that Hayes – I mean, we get, of course, Hayes accidentally hitting The Miz, who was trying to intervene, and Black rolling him up. Like, Aleister Black winning with a distraction roll-up in his first match back in the company that long is not great.
It's very WWE of them.
Man, like, when I say we're back to Vince-level booking, what I mean is DQs, distraction roll-ups, the mid-card feeling muddy and not important again, the pacing of the show, because Jade Cargill was just, I guess, in the ring listening to her own theme for a whole-ass commercial break in a segment. Like, all of these things that everyone was like, hey, we don't like these things about the Vince era. They're like, we're just going to do them anyway. So I don't like the return of that. Distraction roll-ups is definitely one of them. As someone that's been consistently rooting for Carmelo, I like that it took something sneaky to put him away. But the Black Mass is, like, one of the most protected finishers in the world. It's like, hit that and you're done. Mm-hmm. Why didn't he just take that instead? And I'll say this too about Carmelo Hayes. There was a report from Not Us earlier today, I think, I think it was Meltzer, but information is flying around. Yeah, it could have been PW Insider too. I'm pretty sure it was Meltzer, but he said that WWE views Io Sky as a breakaway star. She absolutely is. This is absolutely her time. It also could have been her time any point in the past, like, 8 years that Io Sky has been around. And I am just like, man, what would happen if WWE actually saw what was in front of them at the time it was in front of them? Because they do this a lot and they're completely missing it with Carmelo. And I just want to see them, with everybody other than Bron Breakker, realize what's in front of them. Tiffany Stratton too, you could obviously make the argument there. She became a champion really quick. But like everyone else, they're like, no, we have to wait years to put any sort of sustained push behind it. And it's wildly frustrating when you see someone with you see Carmelo go out and rise to the side of an Aleister Black style match when that's not really his style match. And he does it that damn well. What are you waiting for with this kid? And why the hell is he working with The Miz? Yeah. Look what you already did. Look how long it took them to realize with Montez Ford what was in front of them. And they're still not on a PLE. Like, come on, man. Just see what's in front of you at the time it's in front of you. Because Io Sky should be like a multi-time champion right now. Like, the consistent weight is mind-boggling to me. And then what happens is you end up having to wait until your entire main event seat is 39 years and older. You're bringing in Joe Hendry at 36 years old, but Dakota Kai, who's the same damn age, is too old to be working in WWE. That's what I read today. Ridiculous.
I gotta say,
Carmelo Hayes could be the future, should be the future present. like should be where Bron Breakker is right now, but they continually miss what's in front of them. It boggles the mind. Really, really fun match. Dumb ending. This relationship between Carmelo Hayes and The Miz is an absolute waste of both of their
time. Tell me about it. Sorry. I didn't know if you had something else to say and I was going to jump on you, my bad. I apologize. I was just like, tell me about it. Let me give you my thought here. And I said this when they first were put together. What is this serving? What is the story of Carmelo and The Miz, right? And we know what happens. I think the only thing that actually, you know, in recent memory that has been really good was the Miz and Truth connection, right? That wasn't her name, but I'm just calling it that. And
awesome truth.
Yeah, that. And to me, it's just
that was
like,
a gag.
What? Right, exactly. But it worked. It worked. It was funny. And it was, you know, before that, it was probably Miz Dow. But, you know, right now with this is the problem is that a lot of us have kind of seen what these wrestlers could really do. And by a lot of us, I mean anyone like over the age of hopefully like 20, right? That we enjoy what these wrestlers do and how they do it in the ring. And then when you have someone like Carmelo being partnered with The Miz, and it's just kind of like, what are they doing? Is this a rom-com? Is this a good cop, bad cop movie? What am I watching, right? And so you kind of stuck, you know, now you knew eventually what happened tonight was going to happen. Was these two were going to hit each other or you know, have some type of physicality where one's going to apologize. My bad, you were in the way, right? And then it continues to escalate, you know, and then they fight each other. Aleister Black being thrown into the middle of it, I'm like, cool. So you're saying you don't know who this kid is and you need more information. Don't, you know, then let's build to that. Right.
Sure.
Let's not just have you go in there and, you know, you want to keep Carmelo strong. But you throw The Miz to interfere. Like there's just a lot of things that kind of went quirky there. I know I've been corrected on the Blue Sky, but to me, it felt like Aleister hasn't lost a match since 5 years ago. You know, 2020, 2021. Sure. So what are we doing? Like it's mimicking what Rusev is doing. And it's a little bit of a pattern. The only one that this did not happen to was Cody when he came in. He wasn't messing around. They kind of elevated him. And Punk when he came in, they kind of just, you know, said, here you go. This is what we got for you. You know? Sure. So which makes me believe, Kate, I talk about the old box, if you know what I mean, the old box on the roster where they kind of box you in and put you, which, you know, I think Aleister just kind of now is falling into that. Look at what's his name? Andrade. He just is now getting some push. But unfortunately, and I know I've said this before, I said this to Sean before we came on, you have a new company to push. So they're putting a lot of the Latinos talents together and they got to kind of utilize them because if they don't,
Only against each other.
Because if they don't, like, you got to be able to bring these people down and bring that WWE style to Triple A, right? So, I don't know. It just didn't make sense. I wish it would have had a little bit more build. Somebody like Carmelo needs a little bit more love. We've been saying this for months. You know, we need him to get a little bit
number
more.
Number one draft pick.
Yeah.
In the last draft.
Yeah. We
what
need him to get a lot more love.
What are you doing?
But, yeah, that's it. Tell me about it, Kate.
blows the mind. But Orion Ben saying if they were consistent with the family friends angles for the Wyatt 6 motivation, the Alexa Charlotte thing might make sense, but it's WWE creative. Yeah, that's true, actually. Like Charlotte coming in here and being a top dog and the way the Wyatt 6 was coming to like deliver justice constantly, yeah, and people down a peg would be good. But man, James Pedro said I'm watching ZSJ wrestling on TV right now. Well, that's just very rude of you to rub that in. But I will say, the former Blair Davenport, B. Priestley showed up at that event to fight Viva Van. So that was nice. Her 90 days was up literally like yesterday or something. So very, very cool that she immediately got back out there. She excels in Japanese wrestling promotions historically. So I hope that she does well and that the sky is the limit for her. But let's keep moving along. There's a thing with R-Truth. R-Truth has seen a sign. And Jimmy Uso can't reason with him. It's a let's go Cena sucks situation. And Drew promises to become a Grand Slam champion and threatens Jacob Fatu. So let's circle back to the beginning of the show where we have Damian Priest, who's focused on Drew McIntyre, with this U.S. title, kind of like as a bonus in the whole situation. And LA Knight confronting him. They have their dreaded friction. And they agree to have each other's back tonight. And then we get Damian and Priest and LA Knight defeating Jacob Fatu and Solo Sikoa. And my God, if I didn't say Vince tropes are back, can they coexist, Alex?
Can they coexist? Are they able to? How many more years can you put that together?
It's not always the trope that's bad, right? When tropes get tired and are unsatisfying, that's bad. I feel like John Cena, we talked about this at the beginning of the show, but John Cena's earned the You People promo, but that doesn't mean it's a good promo automatically. Right. There are some can they coexist matches that are great. And usually it has to do with the stakes that are on the other side more than the communication between the two people. And this one wasn't the worst because LA Knight ended up winning anyway. But you have Knight and Priest bickering the whole match. Knight pinning Solo with the BFT and post-match Fatu just destroying
everything
both of them
and everyone
before Drew comes in and Fatu is you get Fatu standing tall here. I loved the promo that we got from Drew about how, like, why are these other guys in this match? LA Knight just lost. He's been a multi-time US champ. Back in the line with that guy. And I love that he was like, Damian Priest, oh, the guy I beat at WrestleMania? Why is he in this thing? Come on now. It should be a one-on-one match. So I love that from Drew because there's a lot of people doing the justified heel thing right now. He's the most justified heel and he's always right. And I think that's very fun. So tag match was fine. Very formulaic. I think this match is going to be super fun tomorrow. I think it could be the show stealer on a very, very light card, but they got to stop putting talent in those positions where it's like, hope you bail us out for the rest of the show. Hope you bail us out. But what did you think of everything that we got here?
Yeah, I'm 100% behind you. I'm like, I was like, God, it unfortunately for me, like if the show starts the way it did today, I feel like it's going to ride that wave, right? Sure. It's going to feel the same way. And when you mentioned right now that it was very formulaic, that's exactly what the match was. It was like everything felt like it was, and you're going to stand here and you're going to look at that person and you're going to say that and there's going to be arguing, right? And seeing Priest being put in this position, right? How do you feel about it after being... I don't think it's a demotion.
I don't think it's a demotion, but I think their consideration for the mid-card as a company has fallen considerably. Yeah. I think it was a super hot title. I think it's going to be because I think Fatu is clearly like the most incredible, authentically unhinged maniac running around out there. Like, he's great.
You know what? Now that you say that, I don't mean to interrupt you. That makes so much sense.
One feuds.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And not only that, but you're completely correct. It's like the title really, I hate saying this, kind of feels a lot like a prop. It's just something you're carrying around because at the end of the day, there's really not any pageantry or feeling being put behind it. And this is me coming from a person who saw the light heavyweight title, the European title. And I remember those titles being defended with feeling and matches and promos, all kinds of things behind it. You know?
I feel like a lot of it is because like Drew and Damian already hated each other before the US title. And now the US title has gotten shoehorned into their story. Yeah, like it's not
I
about
guess that's
the
what it
title.
Is. Yeah.
Like correct. That sucks.
Correct. Yes,
that
exactly.
That sucks.
And then when the title gets dragged down and it kind of like I look at Fatu and I love that he's champion, but I'm just going to be completely honest with you. he's still Fatu with or without the belt. You know, he's still that high, like he's a badass no matter what. Right. So I feel like his attitude, I don't feel like having the U.S. title. Yeah, it looks good on him, but it hasn't, like, he still would be that badass. The title's not elevating him anywhere. He, Fatu himself, is elevating himself to a stature that no one can keep up with, you know?
I think that's a good thing to have. I do disagree, because I think it's a good thing to have in a mid-card champion. I really do. Louise, I have the document, by the way. Sorry. There was some confusion about some things, and I have a different document than the one that you have. We're good. We're on the same page now. Let's continue through some of this. Sorry, just getting a little reoriented here. What should we talk about next? Let's move on to the women's match.
Yay.
Nia Jax and Jade Cargill. Man, the bad parts of this were really bad, really, really, really rough. But the good parts are great, because they're both so strong and they can both do really, really impressive stuff. But man, the stuff that was not great about this was really rough. Unfortunately, I don't know who produced that match, but to me, especially with the way it was going to end, which we all knew it was going to end with the Naomi run-in. You had Tiffany on the outside as well to try and make you think that wasn't going to be the case, I guess. But to me, that match screams, give me like a 7-minute car crash of the two of them just going at it as hard as they can with all of their strength, instead of like this match that was just got really slow and really clunky at points, unfortunately. That's how I would have gone about business. What do I know? But I would have just been like, what if these two beat the hell out of each other as hard as they could for 7 minutes instead of what we got? Because I feel like the parts where they were just going at it were great, and then the parts where they tried to get cute were really, really rough. Really, really rough, unfortunately. But also, Nia Jax beating Jade Cargill, even protected in 2025, feels like bad booking to me. I'm sorry. Like, I knew this is how it was gonna end, but like the way you're building up Jade, it just feels like it was also a poorly done distraction. Like, because Naomi existed, everybody got distracted. Like, Naomi exists on the outside, which Jade is bewildered by, even though this is all the two of them do. And Nia wins with the Annihilator. We're getting Tiffany and Nia again. All right. Seen it a bunch of times. This just felt unproductive to me. This segment kept both feuds exactly where they were for the most part. Like, with the level of predictability that was there, just felt like 2 + 2 was obviously going to equal 4. So what did you think? Are you on the same page as I am about this? Like, I wasn't a huge fan.
No, 100%. I texted you. We were texting each other too during this match. I was like, what is happening right now? Like, even so, Kate and I are very fortunate to be able to watch it via Netflix, because we have a specific deal with them.
NordVPN.
You know, yes, that we're able. So, you know, there's times that they go ahead and play commercials, but a lot of the time when it comes to SmackDown, because it's not on actually like Netflix. They don't play the commercials, so you see the feed continue to go. And a lot of it was, I mean, like, she was sitting there in the beginning for like 5 to 10 minutes. B, as the match continued, whatever commercial break, like, I even texted you, I said, oh my God, they just went to a commercial break, because the match just, well, the pacing and things were kind of a little bit weird. And that was an unscheduled commercial break, the way they broke into it so quickly. And as I was watching, people were like kind of like sitting in their hands. Remember, I told you, it was like the crowd is just
bored
like
tonight. Crowd was bored not
to heck. You know, the biggest pops were Alexa and John Cena, and that was it. You know, so like, unfortunately for something like this, like, you have powerhouses fighting. You guys know how much I love my powerhouse women.
It's true.
You know, Okay, I want to get
months, if not years, of history of evidence.
I want to get brain busted, power bombed, whatever. just do it to me. But it just felt off. We were just, and it wasn't against them. I can't book a match. I am not a performer. I'm not in the ring, so I don't know what it's like to be in front of, you know, 2,000 people plus hanging out, right? So
I'm sorry. I'm pretty sure you were a backyard wrestler.
Yeah, but we had obviously like maybe 1,900 people, you know, watching it. You know what I'm saying? but yeah. So other than that, man, I don't want to say anything because they're hard perform. You know, they're great performers. I love them. Like, just, you know me again. I say it. So I don't want to make it seem like I want to say something bad or I'm looking for something bad. There was a certain feeling. Unfortunately, it wasn't met with what they normally put on television, and you can tell in the product while you're watching it, you know. So I'm 100% with you. It just a little bit convoluted.
It was a little bit convoluted. It was. Leave a thumbs up for the haters over here.
We are the haters coming to you every Friday. Friday night smack hate.
We are always rooting for wrestling. We are always rooting for wrestling.
Can you imagine what would it be like? It took 18 years to have something as successful, you know, or getting there as WWE. I, no disrespect to TNA, but TNA has had a lot of issues. Alex Cardoza shoots on TNA tonight on the 11 o'clock news. Like, you guys should just like, or whomever is out there creating videos. It wouldn't be 11 o'clock news. It would be. Maybe, you know, some guy from a state with numbers on him. But I would say this. I love professional wrestling. No matter what. I don't want any company to go away because I'll miss it.
That's the thing. That's the attitude. This is a really great call from Bunk 44. So not as good as the Julia match. NXT had one of the best women's matches, one of the hardest hitting women's matches you will ever see in the main event with Julia and Jordynne Grace. They are not the size and type of strength, I would even say, as Jade and Nia. But man, if you want to watch two badass women beat the dog crap out of each other, that NXT match was unbelievable. Jordynne Grace, like, we are blessed. There are a lot of very strong women in wrestling right now. I don't know anybody that uses their strength the way that Jordynne Grace does that I've watched. She is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. She needs to be way higher up on the best women's wrestler in the world conversations that are happening. And if you want to see why, other than a couple spots that were very scary, and they were, but that happens when you watch. This was a Japanese strong style match that we're referring to on NXT this Tuesday, which usually has one or two matches, which make me spots that make me go, oh my God, they're paralyzed. They dead. Like there are some terrifying things that happen. And there were some really scary, there were two spots that were really scary in it. Unbelievable match. So yeah, if you're looking for something hard hitting that you want to go watch, if you were like, I got a taste of this, but I want a little bit more. There you go. That match was unreal. Let's keep moving along. We got a chat from Meet Normus who said, my luchador name is El Grande Carne Hombre. Almost crank. I'm here with my emotional support beef ribs. That was SmackDown. Luis says it's supposed to be either El Hombre Carne or Carnoso. El Carnoso. Did you think that you were in a Spanish-speaking country with how fluid I just was?
I honestly thought, I kind of looked around my room. I was like, am I back in Puerto Rico? Like, what just happened here? did I switch over to Fightful Español?
That definitely was not a white girl from New Jersey saying that. No way.
That was definitely not a Blanquita from Nueva Jersey.
You sent in a Humper chat asking Sean a question, and I'm so sorry that I didn't see it until now, but asking why Megan Bain vacated the House of Glory Women's Championship. They just announced before the Indy Miyu match that will be for the vacated title. I don't know about that. I will ask Sean to get on that, though. And I'm sorry that we missed your chat while he was here. But we will make it work. Luis is working on an update for that in real time. Oh, Indy Hartwell won. There you go.
Oh.
Let's move along. We talked about the Jade and Charlotte segments. There was a dovetail that looked really weird too. Like, when you meet someone on the ramp for a stare down, it's got to look like you are meeting each other. This looked like, and then we walk to this spot and we stare at each other. And then I walk up the stairs. It was very weird. It was very wooden. And then Jade says, you already had your shot at the title. And at Stephanie, or at Tiffany, it's my turn. So we did get that, but the choreographed spot to the, like, with them, it felt like I was watching in high school when they like block. And then they walked over here and they stared at each other. It was very, that whole thing was very odd, but let's move along. We get this fantastic match between the Street Profits and Fraxium, the booking. I don't get it.
It was another match that I was just like, wait, it was great physically, but I was just a little bit off by it.
The Street Profits and Fraxium are in the ring and they exchange words. The Street Profits in Ohio was very nice too, because Dawkins is from right around there. He gives a little Bengals Who Day shout out. And Fraxium, who has mostly lost, but looked impressive doing so, basically say that they just won a title shot despite not winning, yeah. Which is okay. That just happened with Chelsea Green and Zelina. There was like one win that happened there. So, okay. And the Street Profits are like, well, we just got our ass kicked in this TLC match, which we made really great. So I don't think so. And Nick Aldis, who's normally great at this, is like, you know what? Yes. And we're going to have it right now. And I was like, you just had one of the best TLC matches of all time. Wouldn't it make more sense? And I know Alex Pulaski talked about this on Select. Why are they not in a triple threat with the other teams that were in the TLC match, or facing those teams for the next 2 weeks and getting wins over them so we can see just how impressive they were, instead of pinning your tag champions on television for no reason?
Yeah,
that seems dumb. I also, huge nerd, love the ROH Proving Ground match where it's like you either pin the champions or survive a time limit. You could easily steal that stipulation and make it your own in some way, sure, where you just, the champs don't look bad because they didn't get pinned, but the opposing team survived a time limit. What are we doing? Why are we pinning the tag champions on TV? And why are tag champions not allowed on PLEs? Neither tag matches. Like,
because you got to pay two people instead of one. It's what I've been told. I'm not saying
they did have to go through budget cuts recently. Maybe,
yes. So the story is, and if you guys are fans of Wrestling with Freddie and have listened to season one, he drops a lot of knowledge of a certain person he used to ride an airplane with and talk to a lot and work with. And it was the
knowledge, like you drop names,
my friends. I'm just trying to educate the world in professional wrestling, and I do it with someone who's worked in the business. But yeah, so yeah, you have to pay that many people. So he did not want to do it, and I think that some of that has stuck.
I think they just don't care enough about tag team wrestling.
Darn, I mean, I don't even know where the hell's the Raw tag team titles. I haven't seen them in two years.
Tag team wrestling. I love tag wrestling.
Who doesn't? I think, you know, when it's really going to pick up, it's when you put the Lucha Bros together. That's going to be interesting.
Sure. And they can fight only other Hispanic tag teams.
Well, you know what? Someday, somehow, those titles will eventually get in, or they'll just use the AAA tag titles.
Feels that way. So I actually had a lot of fun with this match, though. We get the
it was physical, flying
Catapulta Infernal. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Fraxium is phenomenal. The Street Profits are great. I had a lot of fun watching it. They gave it time. This was like 13 and a half minutes.
Yeah.
Which was really, really good to see. I had so much fun watching it. I was just like, why are we pinning our tag champions for no reason? But it was super, super fun to watch. Like, if you want to see fast pace tag wrestling between two great teams, hell yeah. Hell yeah to that.
Yeah, would love to see a little bit more you know, time building stories, because you kind of built this tag team that's like phenomenal. You did so many of these great vignettes with them, and it just kind of feels like now, you know, you're just like, if you meet backstage and you're pissed off and you're a tag team, you just like call it out, you know. And you know, I'm kind of sort of missing seeing my LFG Evolve tag team, you know, the future prospects, you know,
Motor City Machine Guns.
I have not had the rush and the feel from the bottom of my feet to my head of the entrance. Like, I like that. See, guys,
I mean, they're pretty green. They might still just do more.
But the intro's still pretty hot. I mean, yeah. I they look like sometimes they stumble out there, so maybe H could work with them a little bit. They're young, but you know, they got hope.
I don't think you're on a first letter basis with him. H. First name basis? No. First letter basis.
No. We're just dropping letters tonight.
Why drop names when you can drop letters?
Yeah, yeah. I should make that into a shirt. Why drop
names? Luis has had enough of your shit.
That's not slander. That's not slander. They're new to me, damn it.
Name your top five Motor City Machine Guns Evolve matches.
Oh, man. Their debut match was incredible in WWE. Down in NXT, there's
Ricardo says, hello, lovely. I'm here. Hello, Ricardo. We thank you
Yeah, Ricardo's always working, man. Get yourself out of work. Like, tell him that you're done with this. You're retiring and becoming a stream viewer.
I'm retiring. I have to go watch a SmackDown.
I have to go watch Kate and Alex. Way to live. Talk about wrestling.
Reasonable way to live.
And hating.
It just being just...
Have you, has that happened to you before by any chance? Like, where people just show up and like yell at you on the chat?
Yeah, I'm a woman in this space. Are you kidding?
Oh, no, I know. But like, this is the first time with me that we've been on here. Someone has tried to disrespect the queen of Friday nights. You know, like, okay. It's just weird.
First of all, yes. Second of all, I'm Alex Pulowski's co-host. Of course, people come and call me a hater because we wear it as a badge of honor on Tuesday nights. So,
yeah, there we go. That's true. I'm gonna have to pay more attention to that just so I can go in there and fight with people.
Hey man, NXT's been in a much better direction.
It's just hard sometimes.
It's kind of ruined the bit, honestly. It hurts my feelings. Yeah. That NXT
my friend works there, and you know, I support my peoples. Like, I support you. I support Alex Pulowski. My friends.
Dropping letters, dropping names. Now trying so hard not to drop names. You're just alluding to them with...
I got it right here on the teleprompter. It says, do not drop names. Stop it.
Oh, man.
Matter of fact, if you guys follow me on the roof guy... There we go. If you guys want to pose real quick... Yeah, there we go. I'm going to put that on Blue Sky so I can show you guys exactly where she puts stop dropping names.
Hi, Alex.
Hi. How's it going?
Good. Did you come on just to wave like a celebrity?
Because my ears were burning, you know? So I figured
Well, thank you for off. Watching along.
Yeah. You know, because I'm supporting, just doing stuff, hanging out.
I appreciate it. Well, the bad news is, like, Rey Fénix and Andrade defeating Los Garzas, I think, was one of the best things on the show, and we brought you in to be a hater. So, but well, we can talk about this.
I can hate on this. I can do that.
Okay. I mean, we also
have the so Pat honest McAfee and video pure package. When he says,
I don't have to hate on it, but if that's what I'm called on to do.
Is Alex going to get mean chats?
I would like to know exactly what area of the arena, when they do these shows, all the Latino men are segregated in.
Wow.
Because obviously they're only allowed to talk to each other, which is why they're only allowed to wrestle against each other and with each other. I just feel like there are other people they could wrestle. Or feud with, or be friends with.
Motor City Machine Guns, DIY. I don't get it. I don't get why. Like, I love watching Andrade wrestle. And I think him and Ray Phoenix could be a very, very fun tag team 100%. Before Penta. Like, yeah. That ruled. Would love to see them fight anybody else also. Like, it's just
I try insane. To make an excuse that they bought AAA, so they're really trying to showcase the Latinos. But on the other hand, they really just doing the same crap that they've been doing like since they, I've been watching pro wrestling.
If they decided, El Hijo David King, he's going to be on the main roster on Monday. There's only one guy he could possibly fight is Penta. That's and if he's going to be on Saturday, on Fridays, well, he's got more people he could fight just because there are sheerly more people on. I guess, no, he could fight if they wanted to turn him heel. El Hilo de Vikingo. He could fight Dragon Lee if Dragon Lee's not too busy losing the speed title to El Grande Americano on Cinco de Mayo. Of all days. I don't know. I mean,
you can't make this up, but it is entertainment, so you kind of gotta take this as a disbelief. You know,
it's true.
Anyway. Just be a fan, man.
I honestly, all I wanted to do was
just be a fan, man.
I'm going to be a fan, but I'm also going to book their show better than them. What are we doing with the Wyatt Six? People are asking, like, what is the thing? Like, what do we do with it? And I don't know what else they're going to do with it, but one thing they have to do, because it would be too frigging great for them not to do it, which is why they're not going to do it, is at some point, while Cena's still being a bad guy, maybe it's the thing that starts him to go back to being a good guy for like the last month so he can retire and everybody can be happy for him. He's out there delivering a promo about how everybody sucks and they don't love him enough or whatever. He's yelling at some kid and the lights go down and we hear that note. Ding, ding, ding. And it's just Bo Dallas. He comes down to the ring, the Uncle Howdy thing. But actually, I don't want him to be Uncle Howdy for this moment. He should just be Bo Dallas. He walks up to him, the microphone. He takes it from John very gently. He takes the microphone from him and say, he was right about you.
Mm. Yeah.
Back to him. And he leaves. And everybody knows exactly who he is referring mm-hmm. to. And John Cena goes, oh my God, he's right. Like, I've become the guy that Bray always said I was. And maybe that's the way, like, that gets into his head about why I don't want to be that anymore. Like, if it's a thing where he loses his title, but he's got, like, 6 more weeks left before he has to, like, he has his last match, maybe I want to be a better man now. Maybe we could do that. I don't know.
Or he loses the title and he's like self-doubt, like, I can't believe this happened. And then The Rock comes on and they started beefing. That's how they end.
Yeah, The Rock
comes out. He's like, what are you talking about? You're my disciple. And he's slapping him around. Like, come on, come on. And then finally he wakes out of it. He goes, you know, and then he's like, I'm going to fight you at whatever last pay-per-view is this year.
Wait. He just, The Rock shows up. He says, stop being a little baby.
Yeah,
whatever.
Maybe back,
and then
bitch.
He slaps him around, hits him with a belt.
Yeah,
and then out comes Lil Wayne for some reason. Lil Wayne hits him, and just random rappers come out and start wailing on John Cena, and then they leave, and then The Rock never shows back up again. They never pay it off with anything. That's it.
It's right? So odd to me because even with The Rock not showing back up, like my thinking is. John Cena is going to retire from wrestling and then go to Hollywood, where The Rock is the guy that's earning the most money of anyone ever. Like, just say he's on The Rock's side because after wrestling, he's going to Hollywood. It blows my mind.
You own the rights of using the name like Hollywood, whatever, right? Because they've done it before. They bought it off of WCW. So you got Hollywood Rock, Hollywood Cena. Like, you should have started a Hollywood faction. That would have been cool as hell. You know, corny, but whatever. But here's another thing if I want to throw at you guys, like with Cena, with every wrestler that leaves pro wrestling, you've seen this great thing that has been tradition always, and I love wrestling for this, is they pass the baton, they kind of give it off to someone else, right? We saw it with Sting. We've seen everybody do it. So how do we pass the lineage over? Who does he choose? Does he go back and then maybe, Cody comes to his help and kind of passes the baton over to Cody? Like, you think is that deep with Cody? Or, like, yeah. Is there someone else?
Oh, no, for sure. Cody's okay, the guy who's going to do it. I love that, like, we are planning for the future. And so we shall pass the baton to the next generation. 40-year-old Cody Rhodes.
40-year-old.
You know, it is like one of those things. Just, like, this man will carry us into the next half decade-ish, depending on whether or not he wants to retire. It's one of those.
I also think about, like, when, the Hollywood H guy, I don't want to mention his name for all the bad stuff that he's done. You know, Shelton Benjamin wants to beat his ass. He was what? He was in his mid-40s, right? When he became the Hollywood character, which is mind-boggling to me, right?
Yeah.
Can you imagine if we had that with Cena now, like, you know, in WWE, where he just kind of goes on an insane run, another 10-year run like this? But, yeah. But I agree with both of you now. Like, I get it. It would be,
I think John Cena's got to go out as a good guy because he was
the right. Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's going to go out as a good guy. So I don't know how quickly that turn is and how much longer he will have once he finally drops it.
Yeah.
Tim McFowell saying Cena should put over Melo or Montez on the way up. I would love for him to.
Now, who do you really think? Who do you really think he's going to do? Because it's not going to be one of those two guys. Montez. That's hilarious. Melo.
It does feel like they're very much in plays John Cena's greatest hits mode. Like young star making mode. But let's talk about this last match and head out of here.
Oh, shoot.
Phoenix and Andrade versus Garza. We talked about this a little bit. Phoenix and Andrade getting the win. Santos yelling at Los Garzas for being a bunch of losers. Mm-hmm. They continue to kind of sow those seeds of dissension. Match was great. The inconsistent use of Andrade is beyond mind-boggling when you get to see him in things like this. This was refreshing to see. They're way deeper in the tag team side than on SmackDown than they are on Raw, to like almost an embarrassing standpoint. But this was a great match, and I'm intrigued by the follow-up angle because I feel like Santos is a star on his own. So I could see him going and being a star on his own, quite frankly. Yeah. So Alex is, whoever wants to jump in first, what did you guys think of this?
I just feel like Santos is going to run out of guys that he can be his lackeys, because if he's mean to all the other Latino guys, he's going to have no friends. You know?
Stop. Cardoso, what did you think?
Oh, man. I sometimes have deep conversations with certain friends of mine, not dropping any letters or anything like that. And I was having this conversation with
FPJ. FPJ.
No, not that one. That one has three letters. But I was like, I hope I see you on TV, you know, and I hope that they freaking do something, you know, but
they're doing something. Santos Escobar is back on TV finally.
Yes. That's for sure. So I'm very happy about that. We speak about that amongst each other, and we're kind of like, I'm such a big supporter of everything, his family, his lineage, like what he has, you know, behind him.
He's just such a complete wrestler.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, he's so complete as a wrestler.
He can talk. He has the body. He can wrestle. He has depth. So he can go in different ranges, right? You could see it backstage. He's your friend, but you just messed up. So he slaps you across the face and tells you, like, do better.
It's crazy to me that for 20 years we have been hearing that WWE is trying to find the next Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah.
And they've had him on the main roster now
for
years haven't pushed him like that. Because that's Santos Escobar to a T. Because the thing about him is that sets him apart unfortunately, but you have to look at the reality, and perception is reality. Like, Andrade is amazing, but his but the way he speaks English, even though correct, he can speak English, is in a way yeah, that isn't as palatable.
Yes,
to the greater amount of the Americanized audience.
Yeah, yeah, correct.
Santos though has no problem with that,
right,
whatsoever. And so, like, he could absolutely cut the promos the same way that Eddie could, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether or not, I mean, I have no problem with Andrade coming out here and cutting everything in Spanish.
Spanish, well, yeah.
The vignettes with Nakamura, where he spoke in Japanese, but they did all the stylized
yes,
subtitles, although yes, they never actually backed it up with any real sustained victories. But, like, you could do that with Andrade. It'd be really cool. But you don't need that with Santos.
He was
so excellent in NXT. They brought him up, and I was like, "You honestly have you have a faction that if you pushed it,
yes,
right, would rival the Bloodline."
Yes, that's
how great Santos yes, can be. You just have to push him and give those opportunities. They put their giant thumb on a scale and made Jey Uso the world champ. Mm-hmm. You tell me they couldn't do the same thing with Santos Escobar? Of course they could. They just decided not to.
Yeah, he's
100%.
We've been watching him too, like, from as far as like adapting to the WWE style, like even his NXT run in the weirdest iteration of NXT, that 2.0 era, he was unreal. Unreal. But guys, we are going to wrap up and get out of here. Let me tell you about what we got going on this weekend though. Sean will be on tomorrow for your Backlash post show with a mystery guest.
Oh,
maybe. I think possibly Andrew Vidal, possibly a solo show. Who knows? We're all going to find out tomorrow.
It's a bliss.
So hang out there. But if you want to get a little wild, want to get a little wacky, you want to get a little sour, join us behind the paywall. Me and Alex Pawlowski doing your WWE Backlash review. It is a 5-match card. We will still manage to talk about it for 2 hours. That is what we do. Hang out with us on Fightful Select if you want an alternative to what is available on the main channel. Keep in mind, also on Fightful Select, that Scoops thread, head it up. Lots going on over there. You're going to want to subscribe to that. And if there are underdog lock picks for BetOnline.ag, we're going to have them on Fightful Select for you. So make your money back on FightfulSelect.com. We are out of here for tonight. Join us tomorrow. All sorts of fun stuff going on. We'll see you next week or tomorrow, hopefully.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.